Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe asks whether your relationships are lifting you up or pulling you down.
The people that you hang out with will eventually influence your morality, your spiritual life, and the way you view the world.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. My name is Wayne Shepherd, and we're in the middle of an important series called Straight Talk that deals with some of the most sensitive and relevant issues of our lives. You know, some people have made it a lifelong pattern of getting involved with relationships that drag them down instead of lifting them up. So how do we cultivate healthy relationships and keep other ones at a distance? Pastor Mark will tackle those questions now in his message titled, Relationships That Will Sink You.
Last summer, I was in with my children, and we were playing on an inner tube, and I was trying to get all three of my children on the inner tube at one time. And what I discovered in this little inner tube, that myself and one other of my children could get on it, but when we tried to get the third one on, we'd always flip over or it would sink. And some of you have lived your life that way. Every time you get into relationship with another individual, instead of getting in relationships with people that pull you up, you get in relationships that pull you down, and so you go under. About the time you get your head back up, you latch on to another relationship that pulls you down, and you go back under again, and it's just a pattern in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is talking to us about the need for us to take responsibility for the way we manage our relationships. And I'm going to talk to you about three areas that you need to take immediate responsibility for. I'm reading verse 9 of chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says, I've written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave the world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. For what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those who are inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. The Apostle Paul was talking to a group of believers in a city called Corinth. That was known as the party animal city of those times. It was like going to Las Vegas is nowadays. And people that go to Las Vegas typically have a couple things in mind, gambling and partying. And that city was known for that. And so here was a congregation, a community of believers that was plopped down right in the middle of a very immoral party-like atmosphere, and Paul was trying to encourage these believers to keep a moral compass. How do we live as Christians in a society all around us that's going wild? So he tells them, first of all, you are to take responsibility to decide your level of association with other people in your life. Notice what he says. I have written, and by the way, there's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, but they're Paul had written another letter to the Corinthians that's not listed in the Bible. Therefore, it wasn't an inspired letter. It was just a regular letter. And he had written them in that letter that they should not associate. The word associate there in the Greek is to mix up, not associate with sexually immoral people. The word in the Greek there, immoral, is porneia, which means any kind of sexual perversion, fornication, which means singles that get sexually involved, adultery, which means someone that's a married guy having an affair at his office. He says, do not associate with immoral people. They had misunderstood and thought that Paul was saying, do not have anything to do with anybody in society that's sexually immoral. Paul says, you misunderstood me. I'm not at all talking about the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolater. Because in that case, you would have to leave the world. He's saying, wait a second, you misunderstood me. I'm not talking about quitting your job because someone's sleeping with the secretary. I'm not talking about moving out of your neighborhood because there's someone that's sleeping with his boyfriend or girlfriend. He says, what I'm talking to you about is I'm talking to you about people that call themselves a Christian. They have bowed their knee. They've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They've been baptized. They carry their Bible. They read their Bible. They say, I'm a believer. They associate among us, but although they claim the name of Christ, they still practice the lifestyle of their before Christ days. And he says to them, hey, you need to wake up. You need to understand what it tells us in this same letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, bad company corrupts good morals. Listen, I want you to hear me well this morning because it is our responsibility to determine the people that we associate with. And I believe that that is our personal responsibility. You need to take obvious steps to determine, I will decide who I associate with and who I don't associate with, because there are relationships that build you up and there are relationships that tear you down. Let me tell you, as a parent, I have a responsibility as a parent to know who my kids hang out with. Hello? I need to know who my 12-year-old daughter is associating with. I want to know who they are. I want to know what music they listen to. I want to know what kind of family they come from. I want to know what happens at their household. I want to know what they're into. I want to know what they're involved in. You say, well, Pastor, she's only 12 years old. Wake up, smell the coffee. Have you been around 12-year-olds lately? You say, well, they're just having a friend in someone's house. Have you been to that house? Well, what could 12-year-olds get involved in? Do you know that there is a whole bunch of 12, 13, 14-year-olds that are having sexual activity in households, and most of it happens in the household of a parent that is oblivious to the fact that it's happening? We need to wake up and take responsibility for our lives, and we need to wake up and take responsibility for who we associate with, who our children associate with, not in a judgmental way, but in a discerning way, determining. The Apostle Paul had several things to say. Why is it so important? Well, it's important because I want you to understand me very well this morning. The people that you hang out with will eventually influence your morality, your spiritual life, and the way you view the world. And if you're hanging out with people that call themselves Christians and they're still living in these kind of lifestyles, then a couple things happen. Number one, people see you and they lump all Christians in together. They say, oh, I know Christians. You're like one of those, right? And eventually their standards and their values and their morality begin to rub off on you, and they begin to affect you, and they begin to affect your family, and they begin to alter the way that people outside the church see the church. So the Apostle Paul is being very clear with these people. He's saying, do not associate with anybody that calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or is greedy, which means someone that is covetous, that possess desire to have more, someone that's a swindler, or someone that someone that takes advantage and seizes something that's not theirs, or an idolater, those who worship false idols, or a slanderer, it tells us as well. It says, if you read in verse 10, not meaning all those, but immoral, greedy, swindlers, idolaters. In that case, you'd have to leave out of the world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother. And he lists an expanded list, and he says, with such a person, do not even eat. And then he gives us the reason why. Listen to what it says in verse 12. He says, for what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? You know what was happening with the believers is what happens so many times with us. We judge those that are outside the church rather than dealing with those that are inside the church. We look at the outside world and we say, oh, look how they talk and look how they dress and look how they walk and look what they're doing. Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty people. The Bible, Paul says, hey, it's none of your business how people that don't know God are living. That's the way they should be living because they don't know God. Stop judging them. Do you want your coworker to talk like a Christian when they're not a Christian? Do you want your neighbor to act like a Christian when they're not a Christian? Don't try to force them to be a believer. They are who they are. What you need to try to do is lead them to a relationship with the living God. And when God gets a hold of their life, He will begin to change them from the inside out. Do you understand? I run into a lot of believers that spend a lot of time judging people outside the church. Hey, pagans are pagans. People that don't know God should live like they don't know God, act like they don't know God. We are not to point our finger at them and say, naughty, 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 crazy, crazy, turn, act like a believer when they're not. In fact, let me tell you this. The church should fling its doors open to people no matter what their background, no matter where they've been, who they slept with, how they are, what they look like, should open the doors and say, you are welcome in this place.
You're listening to Bold Steps, and today Mark Jobe is talking about relationships that will sink you. And it represents just one portion of our larger topical series on singleness, sex, and marriage called Straight Talk. Keep in mind that all of these messages can be found on our website at boldstepsradio.org. Of course, you can also get these messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device by simply subscribing to the Bold Steps podcast. Just go to your podcast app and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And you can find even more sermons from Mark by searching through his complete collection of teachings available on moodyaudio.com. Feel free to search for a message based on a specific topic, sermon series, or a book of the Bible. Check it out today. That's moodyaudio.com. Right now, though, let's get back to the heart of the matter as Mark continues today's message in 1 Corinthians 7.
Welcome! No better place to have issues in the church. Because God is a master at cleaning people's up and changing people's lives around. However, having said that, the Apostle Paul says you have no business judging those outside the church, but guess what? It is your business. If someone is a believer, knows God, is baptized, living for God, claims to be a believer, it is your business to make sure that you judge your association with that person. You see, the word judgment has gotten a bad rap in the last few years because we hear the word judge and we think it's wrong. The word judge is not bad. In fact, we have court systems and we appoint judges over the court system, right? And what is a judge's responsibility? A judge's responsibility is to hear the facts about a case and to determine whether they are right or wrong, whether they are guilty or innocent, right? The Apostle Paul says, let me tell you what bad judgment and good judgment is. Bad judgment is when we judge people's motives that we can't see, and when we judge their appearance, we judge them by their skin color, by the way they dress, or their appearance. We judge them from the outside. That's bad judgment. Good judgment, and we're all called to this, is we would carefully discern the facts and then make a decision based upon the facts. And the Apostle Paul says, you all should be involved in judging whether discerning right discernment about whether you are going to associate with an individual or not based on the facts. In fact, look what he says. He goes on and says, verse 15, are you not to judge those inside? It's your responsibility to make sure that if people are believers, you deal with believers that are within the church. Listen to what he says. God will judge those outside the church, but you need to make sure you're dealing with the people inside the church. Expel the wicked man from among you. This guy was sleeping with his stepmother. He was in a flagrant, open sexual relationship with his stepmother, and the church was just saying, oh, aren't we open-minded and nice and good? We don't want to judge. And so they were turning their face, acting like it didn't exist, boasting about how loving they were, boasting about how open-minded and progressive they were. And Paul says, wait a second, you need to take a look at that circumstance. And if that individual is unwilling to change, unwilling to repent, as a believer in Christ, unwilling to let it go, then he needs to be out. Because it desecrates the name of God, it contaminates the body of believers, and it's not good for anybody. Paul is telling us we need to take responsibility for our associations. Number two, are you tracking with me? Boy, it's gotten quiet inside here. Number two, you are responsible to rightly resolve your disputes with others. Look at what it says in verse 1. This whole chapter, 5, 6, and 7, is about sex, singleness, and marriage. But this section of chapter 6, he kind of deviates and he begins to talk about judging and he begins to talk about lawsuits. And he says to them, if anyone has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints, by the way, is another way of saying believers, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that you will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint judges, even men of little account, among you in the church. I say this to shame you. You know what was happening in the church? People were getting into disputes, and Corinth was like we are today. They were sue happy. Everybody wants to sue. Oops, I slipped a little. Sue them! I mean, everybody's suing everybody. And it filtered down into the church, and believers in the church were saying, hey, you did a bad plumbing job at my house, and so I don't agree. I'm going to take you to court. And so believers were taking believers to judges and suing each other. You know what Paul says? Paul says, what a shame. Third point, you are responsible to abandon old patterns and embrace your new identity. Verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Wow, that's pretty heavy. What is the kingdom of God? That is the presence of God. That's what we would call heaven. Do you not know that the wicked aren't going to make it into the kingdom of God? What do you mean by the wicked, Paul? He goes on to explain. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral. That means people that are having premarital sex, sex outside of marriage. Do you not know that neither the sexually immoral nor the idolaters, idolaters are people that worship idols. If you are praying to any statue, any wooden object, any emblem, if you pray to those things, if you ask blessing from those things upon you, I don't care how you were raised. I know you may have good intentions. The Bible calls that idolatry. It's a grievous sin to God. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That means if you're married and you're having an affair with a mistress outside of your marriage, nor male prostitutes, in other words, men that are sexually involved with other individuals, nor homosexual offenders, that means people, men or women that are involved sexually with each other on an ongoing pattern basis, nor thieves, that means someone that takes stuff that's not his, nor greedy, that means someone that's covetous and driven by money. Nor drunkards, that means that someone that gets high or drunk on a regular basis. Nor slanderers or revilers, that means that someone that's always getting into fights and picking fights. Nor swindlers, that means con artists, will inherit the kingdom of God. You say, whoa, you know, it's not like he's beating around the bush. You're getting fuzzy about it. I mean, he's like really specific. And I love verse 11. Because he says, and that is what some of you were. It means the church of Corinth was filled with ex-homosexuals and male prostitutes and thieves and con artists and their equivalent to gangbangers and slanderers and fighters and idolaters. That the church was full of people coming out of that background. Man, what a church. I love it. Because he says, that's what you were. But you know what? You are not that anymore. You were washed. That means that no matter what you had in your past, when the blood of Jesus hits you, I don't care where you've been, how long you've been there, I don't care if you've been there for 40 years, 30 years, I don't know what kind of violent activities you've been involved in, what kind of sexual activities you've been involved in, what kind of dark crevices you've crawled out of. God says that no matter what your past is, you have been washed completely, 100%. You have been cleansed. Your slate of the past is no longer. You are clean under the blood of Jesus. And then it says, and you were sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart unto God. You have been selected, set apart, said, aha, this person I will use for my glory. And you have been justified. Justified means that you have been made right before a holy God. What he's saying is that a lot of these people came out of this background and they were saying, well, that's who I am. And God says, no, that's not who you are, that's who you were. Now you're washed, sanctified, and justified. There is no such thing as, well, you know, I'm a Christian homosexual. No, no, you're not. Just like you can't say, well, I'm a Christian adulterer. Well, you know, hey, I'm a Christian thief. I'm a Christian idolater. Hey, I'm a Christian fornicator. It doesn't make sense. What do you mean you're a Christian? Those two terms are in antithesis to one another. You can say this, I was. That is my background. That is what I've come out of. But now I have one identity. I am a child of the living God, indwelt by His Holy Spirit, washed by the blood of Jesus, sanctified by the call of God, and justified by the work of Jesus in my life. I'm a child of the living God. You're saying, Pastor, what are you saying? That if someone ever falls into immorality, they're not going to heaven. That's not what it says. If you come out of sleeping around with all kinds of women when you get saved, do you from that day on ever struggle? No, your past may reach out and try to grab you, but that's not who you are. You may come out of homosexuality and your past may try to grab you. Your past may try to convince you that's what you were engineered. You were born that way. You're genetically encoded to be that way. But the Word of God says, no, that's not who you are. That's what you struggled with, but now you are a believer. You are not an adulterer. You're not a thief. You're not a swindler. That you may struggle with those issues. They may reach up and try to grab you. They may try to define your identity. But those people that live in that identity, that continue in that pattern, God is very clear about it. They will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he ends with this. But you were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He mentions the triune God, Son, Spirit, and God the Father. You were saved by the work of Jesus. You're forgiven by God the Father, and you're indwelt by the person and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings transformation from the inside out. Amen.
Amen. Taking responsibility for your associations and your actions. This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job. To hear today's complete program again or any of the previous programs you may have missed in this series, visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, I think it's worth repeating that just because someone is struggling, it doesn't mean they're separated from God's love or a future with Him. True healing comes from taking responsibility for actions and accepting God's grace and forgiveness.
That's right, Wayne. When we talk about this whole area of singleness, sex, marriage, sexuality, there is so much shame, guilt, and brokenness in this area. So I just want to speak to that person that right now feels like, man, I've blown it in this area big time. Maybe you're living with your boyfriend right now, or maybe you've just gone down a wrong road when it comes to sexuality and haven't done things God's way with a holy perspective. It's never too late to come before God and rededicate yourself before the Lord and say, my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, I reconsecrate myself to managing my sexuality God's way.
God will forgive.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And one of the ways we're dedicated to helping our community is by providing resources that will help you take a bold step in your walk of faith and grow closer in your connection with God. That's why all this month we're helping you to say goodbye to monotonous prayers and hello to a dynamic and fulfilling prayer life with Dr. Bill Thrasher's book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. This comprehensive guide offers practical strategies and valuable tools and inspiring insights to help you reignite your prayer routine and strengthen your spiritual connection. So, if you feel like your prayers are falling flat, your quiet time with God has gotten too quiet, take a stand today and request your copy of How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. We'll send you a copy when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Call us at 800-DL-MOODY. It's that simple, 1-800-356-6639. Or go online to boldstepsradio.org. Or put your donation in an envelope along with your request for the book and mail it to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then over the weekend, we invite you to join us for our sister program, Bold Steps Weekend, airing in your local station, or available online at boldstepsweekend.org. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd signing off, but be sure to come back Monday when Mark explains why purity is such a big deal to God. Hear the biblical case for maintaining a virtuous life, whether you're single or married, Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.